From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, February 15th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how two Midwestern states recently passed laws making it hard for local governments to say no to green projects. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. In celebration of Black History Month, Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza yesterday honored five downstate Black leaders. Among them were Shamika Madison, who heads the Boys and Girls Club in Decatur, and Carbondale Mayor Carolyn Harvey. Honoree Ed Hightower is a former educator from Edwardsville and an NCAA basketball referee.
Let's celebrate Black History daily by striving for equality, justice, and opportunities for all, knowing that our actions will help shape the world of tomorrow.
Hightower also runs the Manny Jackson Center for the Humanities Foundation in Edwardsville, which develops educational programs aimed at fostering respect for different races and cultural identities. Honorees were given a certificate from the comptroller's office. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says the Senate did the right thing by passing additional aid for Ukraine. The $95 billion package also includes funds for Israel and Taiwan. It faces an uncertain future in the House.
Now the Speaker of the House has said that the Republicans there won't allow a vote on the issue. That's wrong. That's just plain wrong. Giving a victory to Vladimir Putin is not in the best interest of peace in this world.
Durbin made the comments Wednesday during a visit to Ottawa. President Biden and other lawmakers are urging the House of Representatives to take up the military aid package as soon as possible. Republicans say they will not support foreign aid without substantial changes to border policies here in the U.S. A proposal in Springfield would require any law enforcement agencies that are encrypting their police scanner transmissions to still make their live activity available on the media. Democratic Representative LaShawn K. Ford is the bill's sponsor. He says the live information would allow people to inform authorities more quickly and effectively.
We believe that anybody that's regulated by the FCC and licensed by the state, we believe they are trustworthy and that they will report real-time crime and will not interfere with law enforcement, but will actually be a partner with the law enforcement to help catch criminals.
Ford says this proposal would allow community members to help each other and create safer neighborhoods. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin spoke at a groundbreaking ceremony yesterday for a project aimed to restore aquatic vegetation in a portion of the Illinois River. Yvonne Boos has more.
The Starved Rock Breakwater Project is an effort led by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Durbin says this idea to improve the ecosystems has been working its way through Congress since 2007. He says the Starved Rock location is important.
We have 40% of the bird species and 25% of the North American fish species all right here in the upper Mississippi and Illinois watersheds. Now we're doing something to restore them to make sure that these wildlife creatures have a possibility of a future.
It's the third project within the Navigation and Ecosystem Sustainability Program. The long-term plan is intended to modernize Illinois locks and dams. The Starved Rock Project is expected to be done in October. I'm Yvonne Boos.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how two Midwestern states recently passed laws making it hard for local governments to say no to green projects. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
From Independent Lens, Breaking the News is a new documentary that tells the story of a scrappy group of women and LGBTQ plus journalists who buck the status quo. They focus on people who have been excluded from mainstream news coverage before they launch The 19th, which is a news startup that combats misinformation and elevates voices often left out of the American story. Breaking the News is available to stream for free with the PBS app starting February 19th. Visit your device's app store now to download the PBS app.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Wind and solar products are popping up in more places across the Midwest, but so have opposition. Several counties, townships, and towns have restricted the construction of big wind turbines and solar panels. But as Jim Meadows reports, two Midwestern states recently passed laws making it hard for local governments to say no to green projects.
The farmland out where Jerry Edwards lives in northern Piatt County, Illinois, is flat enough that he can point a mile to the north, where a wind farm will soon be installed.
There will be a tower the size of the Gateway Arch back this way in where the cover crop is. And then in the field just east of it, I mean, we can walk out to the road and see, there will be a second.
The Piatt County Board voted down the project in March of last year. Then, 7 months later, they approved it. Edwards, who was the county board's vice chairman, voted no both times. He says other board members changed their no votes to yes because of a new Illinois law. It set statewide standards for wind and solar projects. In Piatt County, officials worried saying no to this wind farm could lead to a costly legal battle.
In a nutshell, the governor, the speaker of the House, and the head of the Senate basically had a gun held to their head saying, you are going to vote for this or else you subject the county to lawsuits that would break the county.
Opponents of the wind farm say their eyesores create noise and light problems, as well as potential environmental issues once the turbines wear out. But the state of Illinois needs more wind farms and solar farms to meet its goal of 100% clean energy by 2050. That's according to Northern Illinois University law professor Sarah Fox, whose specialty is environmental law and land use.
If you have local governments around the state unwilling to commit to wind and solar and other things, then Illinois is not going to be able to get to those renewable energy goals that it has set.
Wind and solar farms are built on sites leased by willing landowners, but local opposition has been growing year by year, according to the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University in New York. It counted nearly 300 projects that have faced serious opposition across the U.S. as of last year, and more than 220 local governments and six states that either restrict or ban them outright. Matthew Isenson authored the center's report last year.
I think this is largely due to the fact that developers are proposing projects in new areas, and the local restrictions are often a reaction to, you know, a specific project proposal.
In Michigan, voters in several townships in Montcalm County not only rejected projects, but recalled township officials who supported them. Then, last November, the governor signed Michigan's Clean Energy Future Package into law. It includes limits on townships' ability to say no to wind and solar projects. Supporters say that's a good move for the state's environment and economy. But there's an effort in Michigan to overturn those limits through a state referendum. Retired school teacher Norm Stevens is gathering signatures.
The state's plans of 100% renewable energy and takeover of local control of that zoning is a classic case of government overreach, and they aren't realistic, and nor are they achievable.
Despite pushback, the number of U.S. wind and solar facilities has grown as costs have fallen. Jeff Danielson is with the Clean Grid Alliance, which advocates for renewable energy in the Midwest. He says acceptance of green projects will come in time.
But it will come with some discussion, some conflict, and a reconciling of folks' preferences along the way. We should embrace that because we get to do it in a democratic setting, and that, I think, should be everybody's goal.
But in rural areas of Illinois and Michigan, some residents resent that state law is overriding local authority over wind and solar farms. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jim Meadows.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a high of 49 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Yvonne Boos, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.